So here we are today with Outrage ATL. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. It's exciting. We looked at your website. We were kind of checking it out this morning, and I had some really cool ideas about it. I'll tell you about that later.
All right.
Because when I saw that, it was right up my alley.
I definitely like any tips that we could get. Definitely helps us out.
I'm sure you guys have thought of most of this already, but yeah, my wheels were turning when I saw it. I was like, I want to get in there with the sledgehammer. So tell us, introduce yourself, you know, tell us about it. What's the background? How did the idea start?
All right. So this is going to be a little talk. So how it started about a year ago, we kind of just had the idea. This was before we knew that there were other rage rooms in the US, you'd say. So we started with the idea. And we're just like, hey, you know what? I wish it was somewhere where we could go and just relieve some stress. So we were willing to drive 2 hours to, I think it was Alabama. There was one in Alabama where they actually have a rage room, and we wanted to try it out. Come to find out, we were just like, you know what? It's COVID time. People are stressed. People need somewhere to go. So let's do this for everybody else as well. So that being said, we were just like, you know, we started planning. We're young. We were working, I guess, half full-time jobs. I don't know what you want to call it, 30 hours a week. We didn't really have the funds that we wanted to have to open a business like this. So we got really lucky. We had a lot of support from family and friends, and it kind of helped us out when it came to getting the funds in order, getting a place in order. So we did some research, and we found one in Baltimore. And when I actually reached out to him, he actually gave us very good tips. He told me how many square foot I might need. Try finding a building that stands by itself, which we didn't get lucky enough to find. And since we were young, it kind of was hard because a lot of places did not want us because we had no business credit. So it's been a process. So after skipping a couple months, we finally signed the lease through the Cherokee Street, the place that we're at now. Mm-hmm. And that's also another process because when we got there, there was no lights. We had to actually install lights. We had to fix the lights. It was short circuited everywhere. Had to add a bathroom. It was a mess. And also we had no funds. So we had to do a lot of the building ourselves. Most of the building, if not all the building, actually was done by us, construction, painting, everything.
So your blood, sweat, and tears is all in there.
All in there. So when we finally opened, it was awesome because we look back and we just like, you know, we really worked hard for 3 months. We got really lucky again because the landlord that we had, the property manager, he gave us 3 months free rent. So shout out to Phillips and Edison because they actually helped us out a lot. We had to add a bathroom. It cost $16,000.
It was a code thing. For the occupancy.
Exactly. Yep. See, thank you. Exactly. So we had to do the occupancy load. For people that don't know what that is, by law or by your county, you have to be under a certain amount of people, depending on how many reservoir or laboratories that you guys have. I think it's called official word, restrooms that you have.
Yep.
And since we're entertainment, we had to have two, male and female. So we had to add another bathroom. That was a process. We almost broke the lease because we didn't have $16,000 to add a bathroom. So it was a lot of tears and frustrations during that period of time. And I called Phillips and Edison again, and I spoke to our property manager, and he was willing to actually give us the $16,000. And he gave us $16,000, and he helped us add a bathroom. So we called a contractor, got a bathroom installed. So other than that, the process has been, it's been tedious. It's definitely been tedious. I would say it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done or that we've ever done. Again, with the construction, other than the bathroom, we had to do everything else ourselves. We couldn't hire anybody. So we bought everything we needed. Shout out to YouTube, because without YouTube, I promise you, we would not know exactly what we were doing. We still didn't know what we were doing. So we tried. We did it. And it's just all been a blessing because the contractor himself, he took the time out of his day. Whenever he was there, he'd give us tips. He'd be like, hey, you're doing this wrong. You need to flip these around. If you're hanging drywall, you got to make sure it's 24 inches on center. I could probably be a contractor now with the amount of information that we know.
Sure.
We learned a lot about codes, what we can do, what we can't do. It's been fun, but it's also been stress relieving. There's nights where I just scream. There's nights where I tear up.
You have a place to outlet that.
We have a place to outlet that. So I tell everybody that comes in, sometimes I feel like we're opening this business for ourselves. Because a lot of times with the whole, I mean, we've thrown our own items. I've dropped drywall sheets. I've dropped... It's been frustrating. And I guess one of the most tedious parts about the construction, believe it or not, was installing a door. It took us probably 3 days just to install one door. We had to undo the building, start it over, and it was everything from scratch. Before we had a drill strong enough to hold up the structure for the wall, we taped the studs together and tried to make the shape out of the studs by taping them. That didn't work. It's been fun. I mean, we had to start somewhere, so I'm not complaining. I'm new to everything. I've never done building in my life, let alone probably use a drill properly. So it was definitely been fun.
Well, that's really, that's exciting and it's really impressive. Mm-hmm. It says a lot about you guys that you would, in the midst of COVID, mm-hmm. right? So there's this worldwide situation that's happening. Everybody's having, bad outcomes left and right, mm-hmm. all this turmoil and all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And for it to have it in your head and go, you know what? I'm going to do something during this time and I'm going to make the best out of what is a very difficult situation, and to basically start a business and mm-hmm. not only start a business, but have to build out a space. Yeah. That says a lot about you. So that's really cool, man.
I appreciate that.
When did it officially open?
So our official open date, I'd say, was February 12th. Okay. That was our official real, hey, we're fully open.
Okay.
I'd say we actually opened up where we were done building was, I think, the 9th or the 10th of February. That's where we kind of had family. We did a family and friend night at our spot. That's when we finished building. We were just like, hey, let's check it out. We wanted to try, see exactly what's going on. We wanted to know if we needed to add anything, take anything away, just to get some opinions from the jump. So that was pretty successful. Family and friends showed up. It's about 12 to 15. Kind of had some fun smashing some stuff, throwing some plates. It was really neat. Took a couple pictures. But our official open date was the 12th of February.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's brand new. You're here.
Way brand new.
Yeah. That's awesome. So talk about the actual, the inside, the layout. So there's rooms. Mm-hmm. So if people wanted to, there's limitations mm-hmm. on how many people can be in a room at once. But okay. is it just an open space? Is there mm-hmm. Is there a stage for you to put your things on, or how does it work in the room?
All right. So just to give a quick breakdown, I could talk about this because we did a lot of the building in very good detail. So when you walk in, there's the main desk, of course. Yep. And then we have two rooms that we have right now. One is slightly bigger than the other. And one room could fit about 7 to 8 people, and the other room could fit about 5 or so comfortably.
Yeah.
So we're trying not to overcrowd the rooms. But in total, if you did want to book both rooms, we could hold up to about 15 to 16 people. Comfortably.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can't have more, but we're trying to keep it within that range. We just don't want... We want it to where if you're swinging, there's not somebody in your immediate vicinity. So you could actually take your frustrations out and not have to worry about looking around, even though that is one of our rules. Just be mindful of where you're swinging. But right now we just have two rooms. We are actually in the process of about to build out a party room. We're going to have a place where basically you can book parties for us. We have a couple of tables already in the spot. We just got to finish doing what we have to do, adding lights, adding chairs and stuff like that.
It's perfect birthday party. You're gonna have some cake, open some presents, and then we're gonna go smash some stuff.
Exactly.
I love it.
So do you run it by the hour?
So we actually do have a party package. So it is by the hour and it covers for all 15 people. So you're saving about $100 doing the party package if you do 15 people or up to 15 people, because mm-hmm. we do $350 per hour. But what that is, it covers your entry to the room, it covers our party area, it covers everything in the actual space itself. So you get both rooms for your party. It's just you, because we are appointment, we're mainly appointment only right now. So when appointments do come in, nobody else comes in to bother you. So it's just you and your family or your group of friends. And yeah, you get the whole hour. And if we did the math real fast, 30 minutes, if 15 people came in for 30 minutes, since it is 30 per adult over 17. So about $450.
Yeah.
That's 30 minutes. So what we did was for the whole hour, you get 20, 30 minutes to eat. And then you get another 30 minutes to relieve your stress, have some fun, break. But we're not going to keep track of what you do when you do it. It's just, you know, you come in, you check in, just have your fun.
Yeah, it's loose. As long as, well, as long as there's not somebody right after you. I mean, you just kind of do your thing.
Exactly.
What are the, because I've got some, you know, ideas in my head of like, what are the, like, tools, implements, if you will, that someone can use to smash with? Are we talking baseball bat, crowbar, sledgehammer? Like, what are some of the exotic ones? What are some crazy ones?
So, I mean, of course, the basic ones are bats, golf clubs, hockey pucks, stuff like that. Hockey sticks, I think it is. I'm sorry about that. Hockey sticks for the hockey fanatics out there. I apologize. But I guess the exotic ones we have right now, we are trying to get some sledgehammers. We do have a big axe right now. Okay. We have a crowbar. So we are trying to get into all of that. And in a couple months, maybe actually in April, we're going to start car smashing. Where basically we're going to have a car tent set outside. We just got approval from Cobb County. So we're able to set up a car tent in our parking space and actually get a scrap vehicle and give you a couple sledgehammers and just go to town. I guess exotic, I'd say it would be our axe right now. Everybody loves using the axe because the bat's fun, but I definitely would say the axe is a lot better because you could get the full effect of something. When you hit a TV and with a bat, it just kind of cracks a little bit. When you
more
hit
satisfying
TV, more set right exactly when you hit a TV with an axe, it's definitely a lot more satisfying because one, it could go through, it could explode, it crinkles, and the axe is heavy. So people are always screaming when they use the axe. I don't judge. So we keep our soundproof headphones on just for protecting our ears. We're young, we're trying to keep our ears good. So we do use soundproofing headphones. So we don't hear much, or we try to ignore a lot of the stuff that happens in the room. It's kind of funny because a lot of people, once they see the axe, it's always like, oh yeah, or oh definitely. So It's always fun, and then we try, every group that we have, we take a picture. We go into the room, or I'll go into the room. I will risk my safety for trying to get a couple good pics. I get on the floor, kind of snap a good pic so you're actually hitting stuff. iPhone actually has a really good feature with slow-mo, so I actually slow-mo a couple groups. I'll be like, hey, you know, throw a plate up, hit it with a bat, and then I'll send them to slow-mo. And
I bet that looks cool.
Mm-hmm, and they're always really hype about it when they see a slow-mo. We are going to put some on our website very soon.
That's awesome. What's great is that with technology, you just, by having an iPhone, you have all these tools that, you know, 10 years ago, you'd have to go buy another, you know, $5,000 camera to do all these. And it was just, now you just break out your phone and just.
I won't say it's the best quality, but it's definitely our quality.
It's pretty high. So it's pretty high.
We're trying. Yeah, we're definitely trying. It's something. I mean, it's better than nothing.
It's professional quality almost, I would say. I mean, in a lot of cases, I mean, you know. Especially for like web stuff and, you know, just for the social media stuff and things you're wanting to use it for and just to give to people, hey, here's something to remember. It's the same pictures they would take themselves.
That's true.
It's perfect.
So we definitely allow, I mean, we allow phones in the room. Of course, we're not responsible for any phones that go into the room. Once you sign the waiver and cross our caution tape, it's free game.
You're right.
We don't have any rules, really. It's just try and keep your protective gear on. That's one of our top rules. I don't mind what you wear as long as it's closed-toed shoes because there's glass everywhere. Glass, sharp plastics, metal. Last thing I need is somebody to step on something with some flippers and you have a piece of glass through your foot. So we do try and recommend closed-toed shoes. But when it comes to once you cross the caution tape and sign the waiver, it's free game. We don't have any rules. Be mindful of where you're swinging. Just try and be careful. Keep your glasses on. Have some fun.
Yeah. So what about the stuff? So we talk about like the what you smash with. What about the smashed stuff?
Okay, the smashed
stuff. Do I bring my own stuff?
You can. Yes, you get a discount for bringing your own items. Okay. You get 30% off for bringing your own items. But the items we provide, it really just varies off of what we have in stock. So a lot of our rooms right now, if I stand correct, it's like a couple TVs. We have like computer monitors. We have like microwaves. We actually have a big group coming in, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow or Saturday, and they wanted a washing machine. So we found a washing machine, and now they have one. So it's, I mean, I have a shipment of car windshields. I'm trying to get all of that finalized. I have a shipment of car windshields coming from Safelite, and a bunch of their recycled windshields, car windshields, and they're basically allowing us to use them or get them from them because they just throw them out, recycle them. So they're just like, hey, if you want to recycle them and then send them to the dump, just cool with them. So we actually have a shipment of car windshields coming so people could actually break some windshields.
That's genius. So you're basically, you have all these, you reach out to all these companies that have stuff that they're going to get rid of, mm-hmm. and you go, just get rid of it to me. And I'll just smash it to pieces, and then we'll just, you know, once a week, we'll just take a truck over and take it to the dump.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So we actually spent probably a week before we opened just looking for stuff. We've cleared out maybe 3 thrift stores. We've just gotten their glass plates. A lot of thrift stores, which is a good place to get plates, they're like 25 cents, 50 cents. So what we'll do is we'll get a kit from maybe Goodwill, for example. They'll have like 4 or 5 taped up all together for like $1.50. So that's 4 plates for $1.50. So it helps us out in the long run because now we could just spend maybe $100 and just get maybe like 200 plates, 200, 300 plates with that $100. And in that, we could flip it and turn around and give it to you guys so you guys could actually break it. And we're not hurting our pocket too much. And when it comes to the actual items, like the big items, we really get a lot of that for free. Because, I mean, broken TVs are sitting in front of somebody's house. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for trash to pick it up. I'm actually trying to get in with the dump, the actual dump in Cobb County. If I'm allowed, I would actually be able to go on and pick up some of the stuff that people dump off, or electronics that get dumped off, like TVs, microwaves, fridges. We'll take anything, honestly. Yeah. As long as it's not toxic, we will not take any aerosol cans. We won't take anything like fluorescent light bulbs, batteries, stuff like that. Nothing with acidic acid, nothing like that. But when it comes to, if you could think about putting a bat to it, we'll definitely try and get it.
Where do you warehouse all this stuff?
We actually don't have a warehouse. We keep everything in store. We built a storage room. It's a 20-foot storage room. Nothing too fancy, but that's what we've been using to keep all of our TVs. We stacked up all of the, I guess, rectangular items, like the microwaves, for example, computer boxes. So what we do is we just stack those up against the wall.
Yeah, the stackable stuff.
The stackable stuff. And the TVs, we can't really stack TVs, so we just lean those against the wall. And then we're just kind of just going through them right now. So we don't have a warehouse. But hopefully soon, if we do get busier, we do plan on getting a mobile mini and keeping it in the parking lot just so we could actually store our items. Just rent a mobile mini out for a month and keep most of our items. But since we're not too busy right now, we're just kind of going with the flow with what we have. And the good thing is a lot of the stuff that we put in the room, they're reusable. So one group may come in, hit a TV a couple of times, but they may not go all out. They're just there to have some fun. The group that comes in after them, they're there to actually tear some stuff up. So when it comes to that, they pick up the axe, they pick up the hammer, or they just don't pick up anything at all. And one group, shout out to them, they bent a TV in half. I've never seen it happen, but I didn't question it. So as long as they were happy, you know, took a picture of them, they were happy.
Like barehanded.
I think he took it with his knees and like bent it. If I'm not mistaken, there was
impressive.
That's very impressive. I mean, there's TVs in there that's been there since we opened, and the metal frame is still intact. So I don't know how he did it, but I mean, shout out to him. And there was another guy that stomped on him. He put it, angled it on the wall, and he jumped and just stomped on it. Rolled his ankle, but he was hype. He was definitely hype about it.
But he signed a waiver.
He was. I mean, people have hurt themselves. It's sad to say, people have hurt themselves, and they're happy. They come to me, hand bleeding. Oh my God, I cut myself. I'm just like, do you want a Band-Aid? And they're just like, yeah. And then they have like 15 minutes left on their time, so they'll go right back into the room and be perfectly fine. One kid came in real nervous. Apparently never picked up a bat, never did anything. The parents wanted to kind of, he has really bad anxiety. So the parents brought him to us to actually try and relieve that anxiety that he has from school. So he was really nervous. I actually have a video of the little boy. It was fun. So he went into the room. He picked up a bat. He was shy, very shy. He didn't want to do it. As soon as he saw his dad hit something, he was like, can I do that? And the dad was like, yeah, that's why we're here. And he just started going to town. Everything in the room, he started hitting the floor, started hitting the wall. He was just fun. He was just having fun. So all the parents just stopped and looked at that one kid just breaking everything because he's never done anything like that. And his mom actually reached out to me and wanted to set up a membership. So now we're actually going to try setting up a membership for people to come in on a regular basis just to kind of have a quick session, relieve some stress, have some fun. But he was really hype about it, and his mom said that he talks more now because, he talks a lot more now because of the stress that he got off of his shoulders. But apparently he has really bad anxiety. So,
what a cool success story. Yeah. That's, you know, you think about that. I mean, that's the kind of thing you want to put out there is like, hey, like the memberships, that's huge. Because that's one of the things, when I looked at it, that's one of the things I was like, this would be perfect for like a kind of like a recurring. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you pay like a monthly fee, mm-hmm. and you get like, you know, 30 minutes mm-hmm. a week or, you know, whatever.
That's kind of
different packages.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we're planning. Like, yeah. Maybe 4 times a month. You can come in once a week. You don't have to, but it's just, you know, it's like having a
gym membership.
Exactly. You go when you want to, but you get 1 time a week or 4 times a month. If you want to use it all in 1 week, cool. But you get like 4 times a month. Still trying to find the in and outs of what to and what not to do. That is in the works, though. We're trying to get everything situated, everything handled. It's been a process because it's just us. So when it comes to logistics or updating the website, updating our Instagram, social media, networking, it's really just us. We sit up. As soon as we get off work, we'll just go home. We promise, or I try to do a 24 to 48 hour turnaround time when it comes to photos. So if we take your photo, you come in today, give us at least 2 days. At least try and give us 2 to 3 days just so we can get a photos handled, because in one night we could maybe see 30 people. And then those 30 people, I may take 6 pictures. So I have to edit those pictures and stuff like that. So it's definitely been a process. It was fun. I would definitely say that was one of our success stories. Another guy came in. He hit himself hard with an axe to his shin. Hype. He didn't care. Not one care in the world.
All that adrenaline.
I don't know. He went into the room. He wanted to try us out. We gave him 15 minutes just like, hey, try it out. Cool. I charged him half price. Went into the room, grabbed the axe, and started hitting on a wood stump, which is what we use to kind of sit the items on. We just use a wood stump. And we actually have something right now where if you use an axe and you could take a decent chunk out of the wood, you get 10% off your next visit. So he took the axe, started chopping away, hit himself in the shin. He was really happy about it. So like you said, that is what we're trying to get out into the world. We just want people to come in. Not to hurt themselves. I should have used another example. To come in and just relieve their stress, have some fun, not worry about the consequences, really, because it's not really a place where you could go other than your backyard and break some stuff. So I think it's a really cool concept.
What about how much? Are you going to have to protect the walls and the structure itself? Is it concrete walls? I mean, like, mm-hmm. There's sheetrock. I mean, so if somebody. If somebody grabs that axe and whacks your drywall, mm-hmm. they're going to take a big chunk out of the wall. Like, is that something you've kind of thought about? Like, I may have to, once a month, I may have to come through here and with a thing of spackle mm-hmm. and like fix, I'm going to have to paint and fix the walls periodically.
It's funny you say that.
It's already happened.
Our first customer. So how we did the build out, I'll show you guys a couple of pictures later, but how we did the build out, you're actually, we have pallet walls. We built a wall out of pallets. We just stacked them up, zip tied them, nailed them together. End of day. That's what's separating one of the rooms from the other. And then we use PVC piping, a couple poles, some shower curtain rods, and we just made something work. But when it comes to people hitting items, for example, we use the back wall. Since we're the last unit on our plaza, our back wall is concrete. It's a center block. The other side is sheetrock drywall. So what we did was we put everything on the concrete side. So you have the actual main wall to throw stuff at, and you have the floor, which is also concrete. We're in a metal box. So our roof is like 20 feet high. Nothing really reaches the ceiling. But the first family and friends night, I think it was the day after, my cousins came in. This is before we made the rule of not throwing any of the big items at the wood wall, the pallet wall. So he's a party promoter, so he's very amped up. So as soon as he started hitting stuff, I could just hear him. And I knew something was going to go wrong. It always does, no matter what. Shout out to Joey. But he took one of the computer monitors. He threw it at a wall. Come to find out, I didn't notice till maybe 3 days later. There was, on the other side of the pallet wall, the drywall side, it was a hole in it. Come to find out, one of the wood, I guess you say the pallet wood 4x4s, I don't know, the woods that actually strap onto the pallets, it snapped. And when it snapped, it pushed into the drywall and it put a hole on the other side. So I actually have a hole on the other side of our drywall right now, which is in the works of getting fixed. That's part of the party room area, so we've kind of like pushed it aside for now. But it's definitely something we have to get fixed.
Well, your contracting and construction skills are going to be constantly evolving. You're going to be getting better and better. Yeah. You'll get to a point where you can take a little knife and go. You'll be able to cut out a square of sheetrock and patch it and just slap it in there and and mud it, sand it, paint it. You're going to be able to do that like in your sleep.
An unprofessional contractor.
Exactly. Yeah. So we use a lot of, I'm sorry, to answer your question. I apologize. I keep drifting. To answer your question, yes, we do. Now we have a rule, thanks to him, to not throw any of the big appliances at anything wood related. So that being said, on the concrete, on the floor is free game. Plates, they're not going to go through a wall like that, at least not wood wall.
Hopefully, yeah.
Right, hopefully. We haven't had one yet. But you could throw plates, glass cups at the actual wood pallet wall. Concrete, ceiling, stomp on them. I don't care. It's free game. But big appliances, no. You can't throw them at the wall anymore. It's not holding up the way you want to. I don't know what he threw at the wall, but it was big because I heard the boom. But I thought it was an axe. It wasn't an axe. They were screaming. It was a lot going on. Yeah. So from now on, no more big appliances thrown at the wood. But concrete, yeah, free game.
I love. I'm telling you, man. I love the concrete. We're gonna bring. As soon as I saw it, I said, okay, we're gonna bring everybody in our office. We're gonna do a party where we're gonna bring our whole staff and we're gonna come over there one day.
That'd be
and
awesome.
And just book out for an hour and we'll bring some stuff with us and just go to town. So I saw there was a section of the like what's next. That's awesome.
Yeah, so coming soon. So as you see the building, that's the pallet.
Yeah, I saw the pallet wall.
That's the big room that they're in right now. So that's also pallets, leftover pallet wood that we had. So what I did was, since that's just drywall, under the pallet wood. So what we did was we took the pallet wood and just nailed it and wood glued it to the wall. And it helps to give another surface because when you're in that room, you can't really throw left in that direction because this is this room now.
Because there's people.
Exactly.
Right there.
So if we have two groups at the same time, we wanted to give them that wall, that's the concrete wall, the floor, and at least another surface to throw stuff on.
Wait, so, I gotta ask, who's this that was going like full like berserker? So, he had like two axes, and he was like swinging them both like one after another. That's like Viking. That is full Viking.
So he didn't want. That is actually one of my roommates' job. He stays with us now. He came to our family and friends night just to support. He's actually been the star of the website, but he's definitely the one everybody talks about on Instagram when it comes to relieving some stress. So this is just showing when we first started doing our build out, where we had to build everything up and we got closer and closer to opening. Mm-hmm. This is before we painted. That's the main pallet wall that we use right there. We just took fresh pallets, cut off the other side, stacked them up, sanded them.
Looks good.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
It looks good.
I appreciate that.
That's pretty creative too, because it allows you to talk to someone on the other side and you can kind of, you know what I mean? There's like it's a barrier. Mm-hmm. And it protects people from when they're standing there, but you can still kind of use both sides.
So the pallet wall is not really for, I guess you say, communicating. It's just there for, we didn't want to build
like extra cushion, so the wall didn't
exactly
get a giant hole in it.
Mm-hmm. So the curtains themselves, the fire retardant curtains that we have, they're actually see-through. You could actually get a glimpse of them right there. They're see-through, but what we did was we weighted with chains at the bottom. So when objects hit that curtain, they don't fly out.
That's
it automatically
too.
Drops straight down.
Yeah.
So we've tested it out. I've thrown a couple monitors at it. It'll swing out a little bit. So what we did was we 3 feet from the entrance of the curtains, we took a 3 feet from the entrance of the curtains, we took some caution tape, just put it on the floor. Just in case somebody's not standing there. If they're in the caution tape and something hits them, that's the fault. So we just don't want people to actually stand in the caution zone if you're not in the room itself. Uh-huh. So yeah, you could still see. Like let's say parents come in, they don't want to participate, but they want their kids in the room. You can see straight through the curtains. They can see their kids. You know, it's safe. They know exactly their kids are safe, but they cannot stand in front of the caution tape because nothing seems to swing past or fall out of the room past the caution tape. But yeah, that is Ja. Going back to what you asked earlier, I bet that
if you gave him something and let him throw it at that curtain, he could get something to swing out pretty far.
Mm-hmm. So
that'd be a competition that you could have, see who could make the curtain swing out the farthest.
We actually wanted to hold a, like, if you throw a plate and, I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted.
Yeah.
I'm like excited. So like throw a plate, maybe even the future, just for something fun, throw a plate and you get to like try and put it back together or something like that.
Oh.
See who could actually do that. Because plates can break in a couple pieces. Plates could break in a lot of pieces, but it'll give people something to do, something fun.
Like a competition.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a crafty thing for the people that are, like, say you come with a group and one person doesn't want to break anything. They just want to hang out. Mm-hmm. You could have, like, a table set up in the party room and You know, it could be like, hey, well, I'm going to break a few things, and then the people that don't want it could be in here kind of doing a craft thing at the same time. So what about, so I saw axe throwing, possibly.
Rage painting.
So painting, I put up like a big canvas or something and throw stuff at it with that. There's so many. The possibilities are endless.
There's a lot of places we could take it. Our next thing that we're doing, actually starting next couple weeks, is rage painting. I say it's more for the kids, but a lot of adults have been excited about it. We're basically set up a room. It's going to have maybe like 6 to 8 canvases in it. You get to pick a canvas. We give you some cans of acrylic paint. You just go to town. Just start throwing some paint. Use your hands. I don't care. We have paint remover. We give you shoe protectors as well. Just try and bring in clothing that you don't mind getting paint on, because we're not giving overalls right now due to COVID. It's just going to be hard to disinfect. So we'd rather not have to worry about disinfecting full coveralls. We may give aprons, but we're going to allow you to go into a room. You get some paint, get a paintbrush. Doesn't matter. Use your hands. Just throw some paint around. Have some fun. And then you get to dry your canvas and take it home. So you get to keep a piece of artistic work. Yeah.
What if, and this could be a really bad idea, but I'm going to just go ahead. Throw this out there. Uh-huh. What about booze?
So, you know, I was going to ask that.
But you can't serve booze. Mm-hmm. You can't serve like, you know, wine or beer or alcohol. But like if you had a party and they're like, we want to bring our own cooler of beer. Is that a thing?
Yeah. So I'm actually in the works.
Because I can see that being a kind of sticky with the liability.
The axe throwing that we went to with the BNI group, they didn't serve it there, but you can bring your own. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had, they had trash cans all over the place. So you can throw it away. So
yeah,
I think it's a fun idea. So it could be.
It's definitely, it's iffy. But if you could do axe throwing while drunk, they have tank driving in Rome, Georgia, and you could do that while drinking. So honestly, if it comes to hitting a bat or using a bat, I know baseball players that drink before a game. They drink during the game. I have no issues with it. As long as you're safe, just try not to push it to the limits to where you're uncontrollable or where you can't focus on what you're doing. Cause then
it function.
Function. Right. Because maybe it'll get unsafe. I don't want anybody getting hurt with a bat. Even though there is a waiver, I still care about the people that come in.
Right.
So I'd hate for somebody to get very hurt.
Badly hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yes, liquor.
Cutting yourself is one thing, but getting hit in the head with a baseball bat is another.
Yeah, that's concussion zone, and that's not fun.
Yeah,
So I wanted to get my liquor license. I'm still waiting on that. It's very expensive.
You guys have already talked about that.
Yeah, definitely talked about this with her. So it's been back and forth because I would love to sell liquor there, but one, we'd have to build a bar or at least have something to where I want to sell like dollar shots.
Now, do you have to sell food in order to make that work, or can you do just alcohol?
Yeah,
or,
you can do alcohol. You can get just an alcohol license. You just have to go to your county and register for it, and then you pay your fee to register and get your actual alcohol license. It takes like a couple months to approve you for it. And since we just turned 21, Cobb County is very iffy about what they handed to us. So when it came to permits and stuff, it was very back and forth. But of course they had to do their job. So they had to make sure what we were doing was safe. And since we did all the construction ourselves, it's very like, you know, make sure you're doing this right. Make sure you're doing this right. They just didn't want anything or anybody to get hurt. So
understandable.
Makes sense.
Exactly. So the alcohol part of it, it's been back and forth. I mean, for the future, I would definitely say yes. I would love to start selling some dollar shots or just some beer or just something where people could just, you know, have it. Just say, hey,
even partner up with a brewery or something.
Yep. And there's actually one right up the street, and I've talked to him about trying to get his beer because he actually has his own specific beer that he brews. Kennesaw Brewery, I think it's Kennesaw Owl Brewery. And
is it Night Owl?
Night Owl. Right off of Main Street. Yeah. So I've actually talked to him to see if maybe we could do like an event or something when that time comes. So we're just trying to get in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely.
Are you guys in that? Like, tell us where are you exactly? Are you in that downtown Kennesaw stretch? Mm-hmm.
So that downtown Kennesaw stretch is maybe 5 minutes from where we're at. We're straight down Cherokee Street. We're right near the Kroger off of Giles. Like, we're literally. Uh-huh. There's a Kroger. There's like
over there by like First Watch.
First Watch. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's a Kroger. There's a UFIT gym, which apparently a lot of people go to. We're in that plaza.
That'd be a good place to get customers because there's people that work out would probably be the kind of people that also want to smash stuff.
So talking
those go together.
It's crazy you're pulling all these points because we actually, one of the owners, I think it was, he came to us and he told us like, hey, I heard about you guys, and he handed us a paper and he said, I would love for my members to come to you. As long as they have some sort of incentive. So people that go to UFIT and have the actual membership with them, they, I can't remember what we're doing. We're still working on the logistics of all of that, but we're going to give them a discount for trying us out. Or maybe like, hey, come finish your workout with us. You know, have a quick little 15, 20 minute session. Come finish your workout with us and you get like 15% off because you're a UFIT member.
Well, if you think about it, some of the motions that you would use to swing an axe or something overhead, like a lot of that, like if you look at like new age, like kind of those like Hollywood type like workout programs, some of that stuff, like it incorporates those types of movements, like not just lifting weights straight up and down, like you're,
there is a workout,
real world movements,
the axe or something, the cable, and you do that.
Yeah, lots of that stuff.
There's a tire sledgehammer workout where you take a tire, a big old truck tire, and you just take a sledgehammer, hit it, or you just throw the tire, flip it. So
some of the stuff you're doing in those rooms at your place technically are working all of it's working muscles, but some of it you could directly say to a guy in the gym, hey. You could actually come here like on your off days, like on your rest days where you're not in the gym, come over here and do something fun and still get a workout in while you're doing it.
That's the plan. So we have to talk back with them. This was just started like 3 days ago. He just stopped by. He was like, hey, you know, I'm interested. Let us know. He wants us to set up a table of both of his locations and kind of do like a demo. You know, it was just like, we're still trying to figure out how we're going to do that.
Set up the tent in his parking lot with the car and let people come smash the car in his parking lot as they're leaving. And then that could be like a cool way to be like, hey, come do this at our place.
He's full of ideas.
That's a pretty good idea.
If it's legit with like permitting and stuff, you'd have to make sure that it's okay to set it up there.
Of course. Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. I was actually thinking now that you brought that up, for All-Star Weekend, we wanted to go mobile. We wanted to kind of get out there, set up a tent, maybe with some plywood, something like that, just so people could throw against. Or set up a TV, let people start hitting on it, stuff like that. Just to kind of get the idea, let people know that we're here. That, you know, there is one now local. There is another rage room, going back to what I said earlier. There is another rage room about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours away, near Noonan. I can't remember exactly. But they're only open 2 days a week. Oh. But yeah, there's still a business. There's still a rage room. Yeah. Yeah, but it's up there. So when it comes to that, we were nervous because we didn't want another business to inflict on, or I guess we didn't want too much competition. But they're really cool people. I've actually talked to them. They're really nice people, and they're associated with an escape room. So what they do is they're open like 2 days a week, but their other days they're more focused on their escape room because that's what really brings them money. But it kind of falls hand in hand. It's just another item to do because now there's a lot of escape rooms. You can go anywhere and find an escape room.
Yeah.
There's not that many rage rooms. There's now maybe two in Georgia, including us. So when it comes to the Atlanta area, we're the one that's actually closest to Atlanta. We're like 24 minutes.
Well, it's a huge market, though. If you think about Kennesaw, like, you're not going to draw people from Duluth. You're not going to get people from Chambly. I mean, you draw a 10, 15-mile circle.
Radius.
That's what you're going to get.
That's what we've been focusing on,
There could be 10 of those in Atlanta, and it wouldn't hurt you.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah. I mean, we're trying, even for example, like we stay in Hiram, Powder Springs. I have to drive maybe 45 minutes just to find something fun to do. So we're only about 20 minutes from our store. So it gives people in this area something to go to. Other than driving all the way to Atlanta, sometimes further than Atlanta. Like, let's say you want to go to Main Event, for example. You have to drive at least 40 minutes, depending on where you're from, just to go to Main Event. You want to go to the Dome, that's at least an hour with traffic. Atlanta's terrible. So when it comes to stuff like that, I mean, I definitely would say we're in a really good area. We're trying to get to the point where the people in the area know about us. So we've been trying to network, and like when Jordan reached out to us, it was we were very happy because it was something new. We've been trying to get to the point where we could let people know who we are without having to, I wouldn't say pay for it, but without having to break the bank when it comes to advertisements or something, like, cause you could pay
grassroots.
So you could pay like $2,000 for an ad, but maybe only 100 people see it. So is that $2,000 really worth it at the end of the day? So we're trying to get to the point where, you know, we get free advertising. People shout us out, celebrities, influencers, just people, random people that could just be like, hey, like the other day, a police officer said that he wanted to stop by with his crew.
Fine.
Right. So when it comes to stuff like that, we're just trying to get in paramedics, teachers, schools. We just want to get in with basically anywhere. Anywhere I could pass a piece of paper around and say, hey, you know, there's a rage room up the street. Come try us out. It's something new. You've probably never heard of it before. Not everybody wants to drive 2 hours just to do something like this. So having one 20 minutes away is definitely helpful.
No, it's incredible. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think networking is the way for that type of product. I mean, you can get out, and the only limitation mm-hmm. for networking is just how much are you willing to go and talk to people.
Exactly.
If you're not spending mm-hmm. anything to just talk.
Talk, exactly.
You can do that as much as you want. Just time in the day is the only thing that holds you back. So I think it's, it's a fantastic
and
idea.
And that's how I found out about him. There was one day, John, my husband, he went to a networking event at Piedmont Law. They were doing like a biker night thing mm-hmm. and he was passing out flyers, and I come home and one of his flyers is sitting on my bed, and I'm like, what is this? So called him up, invited him out. So networking works.
Definitely works in the long run. A lot of people reached out to us. Even the other day, I was telling Jordan earlier, even the other day, we called up a radio station, 103.3. It was just like a little business talk, the thing they were doing online. They kind of, you call up, just say, hey, who are you? Where are you from? Stuff like that. Turned out, I let him know where we were from, who we were, and he was just like, hey, give me like 2 minutes. I'll put you on live. So I was like, cool. So I waited. I held. I was freaking out, of course. I've never been on the radio. Very nervous. I mean, it was a phone call, and I was shaking. This is a podcast. I've never done a podcast before, ever. That was the first time, probably, I've been on the radio. So it was very nerve-wracking, but that little two-minute online live conversation that I had with him, and he put it on live for the radio station. We gained like 70, 80 followers just like that. We started getting people to reach out to us. I got text messages from like DJs in Atlanta, a couple celebrities. Like, it was really cool when it came to like networking. I would definitely say, especially for a small business, it's doing podcasts, being on the radio, small stuff, handing out flyers. Like, I would never gotten this opportunity if I didn't go to that
the Italian restaurant.
Well, and that's it. It builds on top of itself. Mm-hmm. You know, the more connections you have, different things, stuff, mm-hmm. you just, your reach expands out to further away things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really cool. Well, tell us, look, we are so excited to have met you guys. We are definitely, I'm sold. I'm in.
I was sold when I saw
the flyer. We're coming. You just go ahead and put it on the calendar. What is the availability when people want to book? So you said you guys you're kind of in a transition mm-hmm. where you're both working at other places still. Is it just in the afternoons? Is it certain, like, is the calendar kind of different on different days?
So right now our hours are 12 to 3 p.m. We're 12 to 3 p.m. Okay, I go by day. So Sunday, Monday, we're closed. That's just how we are right now. Yep. We're closed Sunday, Monday. Tuesday to Thursday, we're 12 to 3. We close for a little bit and we reopen at 8 and close at 11, 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Friday and Saturday, we're 12 to 3. And then we close at 1 a.m. Same thing, 8 to 1 a.m. So Friday and Saturday is really where we get most of our appointments. That's the main day. That's why we extended the hours for that specific day.
So it's lunch and night.
Lunch and night.
It's lunchtime or an after 8 o'clock.
So we didn't really get any... I may open it back up or extend the hours, but the main reason we had to shorten our hours was due to we had an issue with noise. As you could probably imagine, we are a connecting unit, so we had to respect our next door neighbors. They were there first, and they're a tea shop, which they're really good, by the way. I would recommend trying them out. Sips of tea. But they're open 12 to 8. So what we did was they used to be open 3 to 8. So we thought like, okay, 12 to 3, you know, 8 to 11 is before they open and after they close. That's just kind of the hours we stuck with right now, just to kind of respect them until we could actually properly acousticate. Not sure if that's a word, but basically just dampen the sound.
Soundproof that wall.
Mm-hmm. So we have a bunch of sound panels and we're just in the process of setting that up to where we could you know, open longer hours.
Make it better. Yeah.
Make it better. But so
be a good neighbor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we just opened up, and last thing I want is salt between me and next door.
How loud does it get if you're over there? Have y'all tested it?
Yeah.
You've gone in there and sat down.
Yes, because we're
shouting.
We're in a metal box. The rooms help now. The rooms help a little better with the yelling and the talking. You don't really hear them talking much, but as soon as you hit something, it's loud. And then we have curtains separating us from the noise, so it's not really a way to dampen that. So we try getting some acoustic panels, putting it on the top of the actual rooms, because we use like a curtain mesh that we did, polyester mesh. So we just put some acoustic panels on top. That didn't help at all. We're in a metal box, metal concrete box at that. So as soon as you hit something, it echoes straight through the wall. Yeah. It
bounces around.
Yeah. So it was a lot worse. When we first got there, there was nothing. It was an empty space, one bathroom, half a bathroom at that. It wasn't even completed. But I mean, it was a lot worse.
It's progress.
It's progress, yeah. Right. So we just opened up. We didn't know it was going to be that loud. I wanted to do the fan.
Well, that's why the guy you talked to up north, that's why he said try to get a standalone if you can. Building.
Yeah, and I knew noise was going to be an issue, but not that much.
But there's solutions for that.
Yeah.
There's ways to put stuff on that wall and to put stuff, like if you can basically cover the ceiling and that wall that you share with them. Mm-hmm. If you cover both and kind of maybe put two or three layers of something, it can knock down a lot of it.
We're actually thinking about taking the curtains down and actually putting like building a wall, doing a wall build out, so where you're actually able to go into a room per se instead of pulling a curtain to the side. Mm-hmm. We're thinking having a insulated wall as an opening for the room that could help a lot better. If that doesn't work, we're most likely going to just have to build a wall in front of the conjoining wall between us and that unit and separate and insulate that wall that we build. It's like you said, or both.
Who knows?
Exactly. So we're just at this point, we're open. We're happy we're open. We're happy we're actually getting clientele. We're happy we're getting customers. We didn't really get many customers in the middle of the day anyways. So in a way, I say it was a blessing in disguise because one, overhead costs went down significantly because now we're not open for 8 hours a day and maybe only seeing two or three customers. So now they have the option between morning time or they have the option between nighttime. So we are hoping to extend or lengthen those hours soon if we could at least acousticate. There's that word again. I'm sorry. If we could at least dampen the sound a little bit, then yeah, we are planning on opening for a lot more hours. And there's a tutoring center right next door to the Sips of Tea spot.
So tea shop and tutoring
center.
That's unlucky, but yeah, and what can you do?
Exactly. So I think it was bad judgment on our part, but it worked. It's still working. They're hype about it. It's just they can't take the noise too much, and I respect that. I mean, you have office duties, you have phone calls to make. I mean, if the noise is too loud, it happens. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that, we're working on it. We're going to get to the point where we could at least do something to help dampen the sound. We may not be able to get rid of it because we're literally right next door, but at least to help the sharp sounds coming through the wall, we're going to try our best.
Yeah, it'll get better.
Yeah.
All right. So good. That's great. Well, like I said, we're 100% sold. We're going to support you guys. We're going to get involved. I love what you're doing. Excuse me. The fact that you guys are so young and that you did this during COVID is so impressive. I can't say that enough times. How I'm blown away by that. So
I did have a question about that. Yeah. Like, do you have any tips for young entrepreneurs that could maybe get anything out of that?
I would say don't give up. Definitely don't give up. It's been a process because I wanted to give up a lot, very bad. From the jump, let me get my words together. I'm sorry. I get very emotional talking about it. But we've been through a lot. We've been through with the county, with the state permitting. We've been through just getting the place itself, trying to find something. We didn't have any money. So even getting a place, if we had to pay rent for 3 months, I would have most likely had to take it out a loan because it took us 3 months to do the full construction build out. So we already knew it was going to take us a while. And when we first started, I could be honest, I was rushing it. I wanted to kind of get in there. I wanted to go and just open.
You were excited.
I was excited. But when we started building, the time period extended. I've probably announced our grand opening maybe 4 times. Our final one was for February, of course. First one was for December. So that could tell exactly what happened between December and February. It's been a journey, I would definitely say. But for young entrepreneurs out there, don't give up. Keep your head up. Believe it or not, try asking people. A lot of people know what to do. Like a lot of people. So I didn't know how to edit a website. I spoke to one guy by handing him a flyer. He said, yeah, call me. I'll help you edit your website. Networking. That's definitely a must, especially coming up. If you're a small business with low funds, try networking, because networking could definitely get you into rooms that you've never been in before. For example, like this one, or it could actually just help you find out exactly where you want to go. Because when we first started building, we had a design drawn out. That's it. We changed that design maybe 3 times. We extended the rooms because at first we wanted 10 by 10 rooms. But we thought, oh, yeah, 10 people, you know, could fit in a 10 by 10. No, it didn't work out the way we wanted to. 2 people could fit in a 10 by 10 room. So we had to extend the rooms a little bit. We used PVC piping. We used the cheapest objects we could find. We literally, since we had no money, we got discounts on damaged drywall. And I just YouTube how to repair damaged drywall. So it was fun. Don't give up. Try and keep your head up no matter what. It could get very hard, especially if you're doing the building yourself. It could get very difficult, but just try and stay close to your friends and family. Just make sure that you have people in your circle that actually want you to succeed. And I would definitely say, you'll succeed.
So and go for it.
Just go for it.
Don't be scared to just jump in and take the hits. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. You're going to have to, the only way to find out what you don't know is to just get in there,
exactly.
Start swinging the hammer, and then you figure it out along the way.
Like, for example, we didn't know how to do most of this stuff. I mean, I had a general idea of how to build a wall. At least I thought. Our unit, we're not allowed to use wood because that's flammable. So by our
metal studs,
we had to use metal studs. Brand new, never knew there was such thing as metal studs. Found out by a lady on the phone. I got mad at her because I was just like, what is a metal stud? So I was frustrated. Went to Home Depot. Metal studs do exist. So I had to find out how to use them.
There's some benefits.
There's a lot of benefits.
They're straighter.
The ones we got are kind of, they're slingy because they're cheap.
Yeah.
So we had to make it work. They weren't as sturdy as we wanted them to. So we had to cross brace. So what we did was we took another piece of stud and kind of angled it from the top of one wall and connected it to the top of another wall, kind of gave it that sturdiness that we needed. Another example, ram shots. That's what, if people don't know what that is, that's where you use to basically seal or connect wood or metal studs to concrete. That's what you use for your base, the track. Uh-huh. And the track is what holds basically the studs together. The studs stand straight up and down. The trucks go horizontally. Mm-hmm. So the tracks, to use a ram shot into concrete, you have to know the caliber of concrete that you have. That doesn't make sense. The thickness of concrete that you have. We did it. So I was ram shotting, and ram shots are like little bullets of nails that literally just fly out of the gun and stick straight into the ground. I didn't know what I was doing. So I would hold it, hit it with a hammer, come to find out the first one that I successfully did, it sounded like a gunshot. I had no ear protection. Didn't know. YouTube doesn't know justice. I was watching how to use it. I read the instructions. Cool. I understood. Loaded it up. Fired it. My ears were ringing for a week. Definitely use ear protection when you're building. Just a key point. Going back to what you said, we didn't know until we started. I would have never, I mean, if I sat back one day, even if I hired some, let's say I did have the money to hire a contractor, I would have never known how to do anything. So this hole that's now in our wall from my cousin, I wouldn't have known how to repair it. I'd have to hire somebody just to repair it. And now that we have a general idea of what to do or how to do it, I could definitely say, if I was comfortable enough, I could probably punch a hole through your wall, come back in 10 minutes and fix it. That's how comfortable I am now when it comes to mudding, drywalling, and repainting. But we wouldn't have known any of that without actually some effort, without trying, without putting our minds to it and being like, hey, it's time. We have to get going. We have a time limit. We got lucky with 3 months free rent.
Sure.
Even then, we were on the crunch time.
Well, you didn't sign the waiver yet, so don't punch the hole through your wall.
I promise. I'm not going to punch a hole through your wall. There's already one in our walls we need to fix. But when it comes to just like trying, just don't give up. Like Nike says, just do it.
And you didn't give up, and here you are.
Exactly. So I appreciate that.
Well, tell us where people can find you, like online, mm-hmm. your social media, like mm-hmm. your details.
So our website is just outrageatl.com. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple, just outrage, like outrageous, outrageatl.com. Our Instagram is outrageatl. Our Facebook, Outrage ATL. It doesn't really get any further from that.
Yeah.
If you want to find us, just Google Outrage ATL or just Outrage Rage Room, and I promise we'll pop up. We're actually now certified on Google, so you could actually see our posts or updates or anything that we do through Google.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited, and I appreciate you guys coming in and telling us about it.
No problem.
We're trying to get the word out for you.
No problem. It's definitely been a experience. Again, shout out to you guys. You as well.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too as well.